Well, good day and welcome to another special coronavirus update here on the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic. I've got my co-host, Sam Bradley, here with me, and Dr. Joe Holly, who's coming on to kind of give us updates as he gets them from his sources and some things that we can all be paying attention to. So, Sam, you know, it's good to have you on the call. You've been kind of riding shotgun on this and keeping everybody in touch with each other. So why don't you take it away?
Well, just thank God for Dr. Joe. He's tired. He's crazy busy, but he finds the time to let us know the things we need to tell our community and everybody else out there. So, Joe, I'm just going to let you run with it. Go for it. What have you learned?
Thanks, guys. So, yeah, it's been a hectic few days, I'm sure, for everybody as we are around the country and the planet, actually, at various levels into our the impact on our lives of COVID-19. Part of what I wanted to share today is just kind of some inside situational awareness stuff relating to what those that are in the earlier stages of the badness of this disease process are seeing, and trying to share with others who hopefully are not quite as close to the peak as some others are. So it'll give you some things to look for. So I think one of the things that is beginning to become pretty clear is that early on in this disease process, as we've already known, those patients tend to have a pretty vague symptom complex. It does now seem that one of the more common and frequently complained of symptoms is sort of this intense lethargy that many folks are experiencing. And I realize that is completely non-specific, but it seems to be much more intense than we have seen in other flu-like illnesses. Diarrhea is beginning to become a more common initial finding. And one thing that's been quite interesting is that for a lot of these patients, early on, they have a mild hypoxemia, not enough to be terribly short of breath. Matter of fact, they probably, in most cases, are not complaining of shortness of breath at that moment. But if you check their pulse ox and it's a bit low, then that seems to be we're seeing that not terribly infrequently in early cases of this disease process. So I think the point there behind all that is that there probably is some value in paying close attention to the pulse oximetry readings that you're getting on patients that you might be seeing that have vague complaints and just feel really tired and lethargic, et cetera. It does appear clear that X-ray findings are lagging behind the clinical picture, and that CT scanning actually may be more sensitive in these cases than a chest X-ray. In other words, we're seeing things on CT scan that we didn't see on chest X-ray. We are seeing an increased frequency of illness in younger patients. In fact, there are 20 or 30 kids in the 14 to 18 age group that are on ventilators around the country related to COVID right now. So while that is thankfully a fairly small number, to me, the lesson here is that kids are definitely not immune to this disease process. Some of them are becoming quite ill. Just because you're a kid doesn't mean you can't get it. So be aware that it is definitely possible in children, and they may be a significant vector for passing along the disease, even though they may not be very symptomatic. There's some interesting conversation going on in regards to things like STEMI activations in the field. And the issue is that with many of these patients, COVID patients specifically may have chest pain, signs of heart failure, may also have EKG changes that are concerning for STEMI, and the cardiologists are having been alerted to a STEMI alert and taken these patients to the lab, find no significant occlusive disease when they cath them, but they do find cardiomyopathies and myocarditis and some other stuff. So, again, the point here is this virus has a small but significant component of involvement of the cardiovascular system, and that often turns out to be unexplained arrhythmias, myocardial wall motion abnormalities, EKG changes, and chest pain, but it is virus-related stuff that is not atherosclerotic disease like we might normally see, which just means, again, keep your ears perked up because there's lots of stuff that is going to make it difficult for us to figure out which of those patients are there. Let's see. Trying to get to my next thing. Oh, interestingly enough, there appears to be an inordinately large number of COVID positivity amongst religious leaders. And I think we have to be careful how we interpret that. But obviously, folks that are in positions of religious authority are frequently making lots of contact with parishioners and folks that they are caring for. They are out in the community. They are social people by their nature. And I think what we are seeing is that a surprising number of them are COVID positive and not knowing it. Obviously, those folks don't want to do harm to their parishioners. And so I think the lesson here is to have sort of focused conversation with our religious leadership to make certain that they appreciate the fact that they are probably high-risk vectors for the disease and that they need to take that seriously in how they conduct their business so that they don't inadvertently expose their parishioners, et cetera, to COVID contacts. So obviously those guys will all want to do the right thing, but they just need to understand it's more common in them than they might have thought otherwise. A couple of quickie points about things like testing and PPE. There does appear to be PPE coming online from a variety of sources that is a bit different distribution channels than the large companies that often do business with the EMS. We are seeing a fair number of N95 masks from China. There was just a statement out from 3M, the maker of most of the N95 masks in the U.S., related to the KN95 labeled mask that clearly appears to be made in China. It has Chinese language labeling on the package. But that KN95 mask is equivalent to an N95 and is fine to use, and that they meet NIOSH standards and all that kind of stuff. And I think you can actually find that documentation online on 3M's website someplace. So entities like paint supply stores and tattoo parlors and all kinds of stuff that we don't think of often for a source of N95 mask seem to have some in availability. They've tended to be pretty good about, donating those for EMS use, and it may be worth reaching out to some of these rather unorthodox places. and their availability seems to be different than EMS availability, and part of that is because their distribution chains are different than the big suppliers for EMS. So just be aware you may can reach out to other places to find your PPE. I've been talking a lot. I guess I'll stop and see if there's any quick questions. That's most of what I had. Questions from you guys at all?
I'm most interested in this cardiac presentation. So, I mean, are they thinking that's directly virally related to the cardiovascular symptoms, or is it secondary to some of the side effects of the pulmonary complications?
It appears it may be some of both. Jamie, there is a fair number of presentations that are almost purely cardiac in nature. Before any of the significant pulmonary complaints appear. And then there are others that have both pulmonary complaints and also cardiac-related complaints. So unknown whether there's a cause and effect there or if the cause on both of those is virally mediated to start with.
Well, it clearly sounds like first responders. I mean, they have to do what they do when they get chest pain, but this is great information because it still needs to be dealt with. So I would assume correctly that people with existing cardiac issues are at a bigger risk.
I would say that that's probably true just because the, you know, knowing that you have cardiac difficulty or cardiac disease obviously predisposes you to have additional cardiac disease. I don't know that it necessarily predisposes you to be any more or less likely to have problems related to COVID, but obviously that is usually an older population. I think the challenge for EMS is not forget that COVID can have a cardiac type presentation in a small number of cases. And even without other symptomatology or disease processes, you still have to be cognizant that there may be something going on there.
Joe, any more information on that tsunami that's yet to come? Jimmy and I were talking about that a while ago as far as, you know, the virus positives doubling and redoubling, and that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, I think there's no question it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, numbers are varying across the country, you know, so that there are clearly some regional differences. I don't think that New York and Seattle and San Jose, California, that, you know, the areas that currently appear to be real hotspots. Illinois or Indiana has got a real hot spot going as well. And of course now New Orleans also, you know, those folks I think are, not yet at peak, and are already under pretty severe strain. The rest of us are probably, you know, one or 2 weeks behind that. The numbers in my area are almost doubling every day. So, you know, at that rate, it doesn't take long before the curve is almost straight up. You know, I think every place I have seen is somewhere, in that first part of that curve. We just don't know how quickly the curve is going to go up, and we don't yet know how, what the peak of the curve is going to be. We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, good information. It's just raising the level of awareness. All of this is about raising the level of awareness for first responders and for people that go, okay, this is probably done now. No.
Yeah, I am very comfortable saying it's nowhere near done. I heard talk from national leadership that, you know, we'd be done with this by Easter. My response to that would be not no, not hell no. We will not be done with this by Easter. So there is several weeks or months to go.
Well, that's a little scary because of the fact that there's always Easter get-togethers in churches.
Exactly.
And,
Well, I know Jamie? my family has a big get together every Easter at my cousin's house, and she sent out an email this morning saying they were canceling it because the state of Maryland extended some of their closing information for schools and stuff past Easter. So based on that, she said we're going to go ahead and call it, which is good because we have a lot of elderly aunts and uncles in our family that would be at increased risk if we pulled a whole bunch of people together. So
sure.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for so much for this. I know you've got to run. We'd love to have you back on as more information presents itself. So keep yourself safe.
Yeah, I'll do it. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity for another quickie maybe next Tuesday or something. Things will have moved along enough to get another point on the curve.
All right.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Be safe. Wear PPE.
I heard that.
Yeah. If you have it.
And then you heard that also, folks. So take care. Be safe out there. And, take heed to some of these signs and symptoms and presentations as you go through patient care in the coming weeks.
And be patient. It will end someday.